Today is the Sunday of All Saints' Day when we commemorate and celebrate the saints, all of them, all sizes, all shapes, all nations, all genders, all classes, all. We remember those who have lived and died in faith, those who have gone before us, all of them. And the core truth about the saints, all of them, is that they are a motley crew. Some were beloved Sunday school teachers like my Aunt Lizzie Wittrick, who taught countless 5- and 6-year-olds throughout the years. We remember her cookies and her trying to teach us the stories of faith. We remember those pious people, but we remember those others who sat uneasily in church or who didn't show up much there, like my grandpa Bill Oswald, who found more community and more acceptance in the local bar than he did in the local Mennonite church. All of them, saints. I remember many years ago attending Anabaptist Mennonite Seminary in Elkhart, Indiana, for their pastor's week. Leonard Sweet was the featured speaker there, who at the time was a professor at Drew Theological Seminary, where Jessica's a student. That morning, he got up before 100 or more Mennonite pastors and professors and others from the community, and he said, "Good morning, saints." And there was this sort of shy, scattering response of, "Good morning." And he said, "Let's try this again. Good morning, saints." And we had caught on by then, and we responded loudly with a good morning. And as soon as we fell quiet, Sweet gave this response, "Good morning, sinners." And the audience, steeped in theological knowledge and insight, was ready to respond as readily as designated as saints, as sinners, and we responded, "Good morning." We learn from the Apostle Paul, who addressed almost all of his letters, addressing all the saints in Corinth, in Ephesus, in Philippi, and on and on. And we know from reading those letters that they too were a motley crew. Saints and sinners, all of them. All. Yes, to saints we will honor this morning, to us present today, to those yet unborn, we share something in common. Despite all and any of our spiritual strengths or weaknesses, we were and are and will be saints, members of the household of God, because one way or another, Christ entered our lives, somehow got our attention, and gave us, them, us, and those yet to come, Christ's work to do in the world. And today's gospel story was one of those we saints slash sinners, the most unlikely follower of Jesus. But most of all, it's a story, I think, about not so much Zacchaeus, but about Jesus, the one who calls, who engages ordinary folks and entrusts them and us and those yet to come with the kingdom, the keys to the kingdom, making them and us saints, all of them, even Zacchaeus. So in our story this morning, Jesus enters Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. There's a rich man, a disreputable man in Jericho named Zacchaeus. Everyone knew him. He was not only a tax collector, someone fleecing his own people for money, taxes, hard-earned money to pay their Roman overlords. He, the head of all the tax collectors, the chief villain of Jericho. But something within Zacchaeus made him want to see Jesus and his followers as they made their way through town. So Zacchaeus scurries up a tree, hoping to catch a glimpse of Jesus. It suggests to me that perhaps Zacchaeus was not an old man, who was still able to climb trees. It was much easier for me to climb trees in my 20s than in my 60s. To Zacchaeus' surprise and to the horror of everyone else in town, Jesus sees Zacchaeus and addresses him up in the tree and invites himself to dinner at Zacchaeus' house. The crowd now transformed from that curious to see Jesus crowd became suddenly infuriated by Jesus and shout among themselves, "He can't be a real Messiah. He's going to be the guest of this man who's a sinner." And the crowd, and I guess that would be us, the crowd, is scandalized that Jesus should do such a thing. They regard Zacchaeus as the loser among losers. On two counts, he's a collaborator with the Romans and a man who's rich. And if you've read the Gospel of Luke, the rich don't fare very well in Luke's gospel. Jesus goes through Jerusalem and enters only one home. And of all those homes in Jericho, I'm sorry, it was Jericho that he was going through, not Jerusalem. And he enters only one home, and that is the home of Zacchaeus, the least expected of anyone in Jericho. And no sooner than the table is prepared does Zacchaeus say that goes about making this confession, that he will make restitution for all that ill-gotten gain. And Jesus makes this startling statement. Today, salvation has come to this household. Not just Zacchaeus, the individual, but to the entire household. It's one of the few times that the word salvation is used in the gospel, and sort of surprising, we would think salvation is a central concept of the New Testament. But in terms of being named in the Gospels, here is one of the few times where it's named. This word salvation, coming from the root word of salve, of healing, of rescue, being made right, having wounds addressed, restored to right relationship, healed, has come to this despised rich man. He too is a son of Abraham, Jesus says. And the man whom the community treated as an outcast is told by Jesus that he is one of their kin. This motley crew now comprises the kingdom of God, rich and poor, tall and short, and any of the more descriptions you might add. Who were the children of Abraham? Israel, of course, God's chosen. But what a sorry lot they were. Abraham himself, the chief person among them, Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham, no good model of being a husband or a father. And Jacob, a scoundrel. This decidedly mixed bag of sons and daughters, chosen by God, not because of their goodness, but because of God's graciousness and their response of faithfulness, even though it was a very, very checkered faithfulness. The Bible is this long story of how God sticks with these children of Abraham. Time and again, they stumble and fall, and God returns, picks them up, and resumes the divine human conversation. And that's what's going on here with Zacchaeus. And good church people, all of us saints gathered there, we note the crowd, these good church-going, Bible-believing, close friends of God, folk of Jericho. They hate Jesus for this. He's going again to the house of sinners. And Jesus just patiently responds, "Today salvation has come to this household." We might well, for our purposes here today, define salvation as that moment or that process whereby Christ comes to our house. Christ invites himself to dinner with us, to our table, intrudes into our lives, whether we're having soup or steak, and sits at our table. Who is a Christian? Let's say for today that a Christian is someone to whom Christ has shown up uninvited. And that's a good thing to be reminded of on All Saints Day. Saints are people to whom God and Jesus has shown up. Some of the saints we'll remember in this congregation were great, outstanding people who were vitally involved in the life of this congregation, gave themselves to this congregation. And some we will remember perhaps from our own family experiences, who maybe weren't quite as connected to the church, and yet Christ invited himself into their lives and households as well. Some of them may have balked at being labeled saints. The thing that made them saints was that Christ somehow knew their name, somehow slipped in through their closed doors and came to them, called them to follow him, and continued to love them and pursue them throughout all their days. Thanks be to God for the good news of Christ coming to our houses, saying to us, "Today salvation has come to us." We're now going to hear from a couple of people for whom they have experienced, others who have been a legacy to them. Leona Landis and Steve Nice will share with us from the saints that have touched their lives.